Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion at the Reporters Roundtable, discussing the top stories of the week with Deborah Simmons with The Washington Times and A. Scott Bolden, attorney and political analyst. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. No matter what you want to talk about, if you're on the line, please do not hang up. We will talk about whatever you want to, but I do want to shift gears just a little bit. Before the break, we were talking about the budget. And to Deborah's point, as you said, Deborah, the president submits his budget. And how many times have I heard the budget lands with a thunk, DOA? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we hear that all the time. But I think the thing that's most significant is that, and maybe we're beating a dead horse here, that President Trump, when he was the campaigner in chief, when he was the candidate, he was talking about the forgotten people, the people in the heartland, the people that were struggling. You know, we're talking working class, non-college educated white folks. Those people also receive entitlements. Mm-hmm. And even if Congress does not give the president what he wants as far as cutting these billions from entitlements and the like, I think the symbolism for people who are clear-eyed and flat-footed, even if you're a working-class white guy in the heartland, you may say, no, just a doggone minute there, Mr. President. you said we were the forgotten ones. Well, it sounds like you're forgetting us. Symbolically, this budget isn't good for the folks who say that, you know, that he said that we're the forgotten ones.
I think the folks in rural America, as opposed to the exurbs, what that we call
right,
them
exactly.
Now.
Right, exactly. The rural part and, like, and I said, the heartland, yeah.
Here's what happens. We look at something like Hillary Care, Obamacare, Trump Care, whatever you want to call it, and try to make it fit for everybody everywhere. It can't. Nor can education. Nor can after-school programs. Nor can universal daycare. Right. None of it fits for everybody everywhere. And you have to keep in mind, Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's a lot of things, including funny, but he's not he's not a conservative. He's not a conservative, okay? So when he says, I want to get, when he gets his priority list and he says, I want these folks, this situation, that situation, these two situations to get tax cuts, that's the way it is. And we're going to get more, boost the budget for charter schools. We're going to boost the budget over here. We're going to change this, cut that. His people know, as well as Trump people's knew, as well as George W. Bush's people, George A. Nixon's folks, Reagan's folks, they all know the House and Senate folks are going to get in there and put in more money. The one thing Trump has stood by has been defense and military spending.
Right.
That's his thing. That's his horse.
That's the political horse
he's running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
and the border money is for human beings, mm-hmm, to get jobs. That wall is not going to be built within the next 4 years. They might put a fence up, mm-hmm, but ain't no wall going up between Mexico and us within the next 3.5-4 years.
Well, the wall, there's $1.6 billion set aside in this budget proposal to build that wall. Now,
the wall is supposed to cost a minimum of $18 billion.
Right, so that one,
that's a picket fence.
It's not only set aside, but it is it's not going to survive. I agree with you there. It's just not going to survive. But the reality is, this is a budget of broken promises to his own people, to his own supporters. You're cutting $1 trillion between Medicaid and the Barack Obamacare, and the taxes there reach like something like $1.6 trillion. $92 billion cut in Social Security. Okay. The first thing Donald Trump said was, I'm not going to cut Medicare.
Congress isn't going to let him cut Social Security.
But it tells you where his mind is and his head is and where the administration is. Now, here's the thing. Let me just finish with this point.
Okay.
These entitlements, What are the top 10 states that get the most entitlements from the federal government every year? I can tell you, there are 10 southern states, and they're all red states. The reason he's not going to be able to cut and break those promises is because the House and senators from Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, you can run across the board.
Come on now, Scott.
No, hold me up. And the challenge for the Republicans, because of these cuts, what they do or don't do, will be whether they are reelectable in 2018. This budget is about getting reelected. And those congressmen and senators in those 10 red states who get the highest number of entitlements, it's not black people who get all the entitlements. I got to tell you, are those same people, once they're hurt, are they going to elect those Republican congressmen and senators again?
Yeah, but you have to. They might be getting the majority of the dollars from entitlement, mm-hmm. but the people with the leverage and the pull are in California, New York State, Pennsylvania, Florida.
But they won't
be hurt by these. Not only that.
Those people in those 10 red southern states are going to get
hurt. Because they have more members of Congress. So they have the leverage. They have the lever and the power to pull the lever.
Let me use my power to pull the phone line real quick.
Another thing.
202-319-7810. Alex, quickly, calling from Stafford. What's on your mind, Alex? Alex, are you there? Give me a call back. Let me go to Alan. Alan, calling from Odenton. What's on your mind, Alan?
First of all, that impeachment conversation, I am really tired of the false equivalency. I do not believe the Democrats are completely bipartisan. I really do believe that they are looking at the information and the evidence, and they're determining that this man is completely corrupt and doing all kinds of illegal stuff. When he fired Comey, it was a clear indication of what should be construed or at least reviewed and discussed as obstruction of justice, and there's a reason he did that. So that has to be considered. As far as this budget, I agree with them. Those 10 red states in there, it doesn't matter who possesses that power or that leverage. Those congressmen are going to fight tooth and nail to keep that budget from hurting those constituents, because they know if they lose all of that, they lose those seats. And if they lose that Congress, they know they're not going to get that thing back that easily.
Alan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Somebody's been studying civics.
Well said.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Peggy, calling from Temple Hills. Peggy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Peggy, are you there? Give me a call back. Let's go to Richard. Richard, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, yes, Richard. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Just fine.
Good. I'd like to make a comment. I'd like to say it's not conspiracy. What I'm about to say is just real. He went from Obama, the most disrespected president in history, to the most disrespectful president in American history. And it says a lot. It says that the power that's behind this guy is untouchable. It's like the war on black crime, where the officers are just having their way with people of color. And young lady just got off on killing a guy where you seen the video.
Are you talking about in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it says what's going on. Nothing is being done. You know, you look at the system and you try to believe in it. Mm-hmm. And nothing is being done.
Okay. Richard, thank you so much. I need to move on, but Richard, thank you so much. And in moving on, I do want to talk about the racism issue that we are seeing making the headlines from the bananas and the other untoward images that we've seen at American University, a noose at the University of Maryland, and of course the murder of Richard Collins III on Saturday, also at the University of Maryland. I described this as unbridled racism. Deborah, is that an overstatement? Are we just more sensitive to this, or are we seeing anecdotally speaking, a rise in the kinds of racist activity on college campuses.
I don't
think
any of this is anecdotal, because these are human beings we're talking about, mm-hmm. both on the ones who are the perpetrators as well as the victims of what's been going on. I'm torn, and because I think this is more bigotry than it is racism. I think it's being perpetrated by people who, if you are not exactly like me, you know, the kind the KKK used to rail against. You can't be Catholic. You can't be black. You can't be Jewish. You can't
be.
You have to fit a mold that, to a large degree, no longer exists in America the way a lot of people want to pretend it does exist. I think that's part of the problem. Bigotry. Why bananas? Mm-hmm. Why not watermelon? You know why?
Because they don't have the history.
They have the history. It ain't easy to carry a bunch of watermelons across campus and ain't nobody paying attention to you. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure I know the difference between
what's
I know
the difference. And the guy who stabbed Richard Collins to death.
The one who's accused of it, yes, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the guy's name. I don't need to know his name. I prayed that Richard Collins went to heaven and God accepts him. That's what I did. Yeah. But the guy who stabbed him said, step to the left. And when Collins didn't step to the left, in he lunged. I was like, dude, what, as the youngins say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
How did we get from here to there?
You walking on a campus with a heck of a lot of black folks and Asian Pacific Islanders and Jews and Hispanics and anything and everything else, to this at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We know what Richard Collins was doing with his friends. What was you doing out there at 4 o'clock in the morning except looking for trouble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's broader than that, though. I really do. I think leadership starts at the top. Leadership sets the tone. And you look at Donald Trump's campaign, his rallies, who was there. He encouraged violence. He has set a tone and created an environment with white supremacists and Breitbart in the White House that has sent messages, dog whistles, that it's okay to express yourself and to make America great again is really a dog whistle for making America white again, making white supremacy great again. And I don't think I'm too far off that when you create that environment, when your followers are rabidly behind you because you're going to build a wall to keep the Mexicans out, you're going to pass a travel ban to keep Muslims out. These are all racist policies that send a message to his supporters, whoever they may be, that, you know what, it might be okay for us to call people out of their names. And for white supremacists and white hate groups, it may be for some okay to punch or stab or shoot and commit violence. I think it's incumbent upon the president to speak out against these violent acts immediately. He doesn't. To reject the support of white supremacy groups and all racially tinged violence. He doesn't, or if he does, he does it slowly or when you forced him to. And I think that sets a tone in this country that it's okay, but it's not okay. It's illegal, and it hurts people of color and people of different religions.
But even to that point, the organized racism, you know, the Klan and the alt-right kind of, that's one thing. But I think the thing that disturbs me even more is what we've seen in just the past couple of weeks, the viral videos of individuals, which I think is a much bigger litmus test of what's going on. When we saw the Muslim woman in Northern Virginia a couple of weeks ago, where her friend was videotaping, she let a white woman in front of her, and then the white woman
in the grocery store line,
you know, that's not organized. But you know, she said, you know, Trump's president now and blah blah. And then just last week, and this one hasn't gotten as much coverage, but there was an incident in Manassas, Virginia, where a woman was on the phone looking for something, a white woman. She was on the phone trying to find something, and an Hispanic man who was hearing her conversation said, well, you can try to go to this shopping center where you can find it. And instead of saying thank you, she went in on him and started telling him to go back to his country. And indeed, what did she say again? Trump is president now.
People see, but that's
that
what you're proving
along.
My point, though.
I agree. I think that's putting a finer point on it. It's not the big groups. Mm-hmm. We're talking about individuals.
Who think it's okay now.
Think it's okay. Yeah. We're going to come back in just a bit. We're going to talk to Kimberly calling from Prince George's County, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion at the Reporters Roundtable, discussing the top stories of the week. Let me go to the phone lines. Kimberly calling from Prince George's County. Kimberly, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I didn't get the young man's name speaking about the racism piece, but he is absolutely on point. When we have a president who has not tried to speak out on the racism issue, then that sets a bad precedent. And in my opinion, the president has infused these actions that are taking place as it refers to racism. Now, on the impeachment piece, we have a president in the office now. At what point do we say, is he above the law? I know he's the president. I know he's got the presidency office. But is he above the law? If he has broken the law, then he should be held to the law just like every other citizen in this country is held to the law of the land. And I just think it's an embarrassing thing. That gentleman couldn't have said it right. Make America great again? No, I don't think that's the intent behind that. I agree. I believe it's make America great again, make America white again. And that's just where I am with this. But to have President Trump feel like it's okay when he was running Hillary Clinton. The big thing in his campaign was the fact that Hillary Clinton was had all of these emails and she's all these bland emails. But that all this stuff that he's doing is a smokescreen. What about his background? So Comey had the background on him. So he tells Comey he doesn't want him to do any more investigation. That right there is illegal.
Yeah. Well, we shall see, Kimberly, because as I said, this is part of the drip, drip, drip that we're seeing. And even today, within the last 2 hours or so, it's been revealed that the Attorney General Jeff Sessions did not, during his security check, mention his contact with the Russian entities during the campaign. So again, I think that we're constantly seeing this kind of drip, drip, drip. And I can't obviously look in a crystal ball and see what's going to happen, but I think it's going to get bigger before it comes to an end.
And can I make it clear? Because I hope I haven't given anyone who's listening the impression that I think Trump is above the law.
Oh yeah, no.
I don't think so.
But you were talking about the letter of the law.
Yeah. I don't think any, especially an office holder. And if Sessions did not reveal his Russian Russian ties, then the security checkers didn't do their job either.
Right.
I mean, they're the back check. They're the backstop.
Yeah, but Howard, you know, Harold, you know, this is really, really serious stuff. Brennan testified yesterday, and Brennan said
Director.
He was a former CIA director, and he said what they were picking up in these conversations and meetings between Trump's campaign people and Russian operatives was disturbing. One report said that they had monitored at least 18 such contacts and conversations. We're talking about the campaign. Now, I must tell you, I've run for office locally. I've never run for president, but what, pray tell, could a campaign be doing and talking to Russian operatives about during the campaign. These are campaigns that you go to states, you're trying to have rallies, you're trying to get American votes, you have international issues, but those are policy issues. What were they talking about? And I think that's what Brennan was getting at. All of this
surely wasn't vodka, or if it was, we should even know that by now, right?
You couple that with we knew that they were working with we knew the Russian operatives were working with Guccifer, releasing the emails from the Democrat DNC as well as from the chair of Hillary's campaign. We knew they were putting out fake news to affect the election. There's no debate about that, and yet the Republicans will argue that no one has seen anything about that supports collusion. Well, you putting the cart before the horse. You got the circumstantial facts that need to be investigated, whereby Brennan, whereby the head of the National Security Agency and the head of
the Defense Intelligence Agency, all are saying this is a big issue.
And you know what? This happened, and it needed to be investigated.
This is like the movie, maybe a mid-'80s, No Way Out, where Kevin Costner. Hello!
Yeah.
I mean, there was a little bit, and of course there was sex there, or Hollywood doesn't even know how to make them.
Of course. I mean,
make a really good
movie without the
sex in it.
And violence.
But I was like, oh my gosh. You know, when you're sitting there reading, when the producer said we're going to talk about the impeachment stuff, so I'm researching. I was like, "Wait a minute, what did he say? The Russians were doing what? Mm-hmm. Is this the?" I couldn't remember the name of the movie, so I had to Google
it. There's another great
movie
that called The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you,
which is even more chilling.
There have been two remakes of the original 1952 movie and the book. Our listeners should go read it, because the Russians unwittingly made this individual an agent to shoot one of their operatives in the U.S. I'm not saying the Trump administration has gone that far, but it is similar that Flynn and others may be unwitting agents of these Russian operatives. I think the Russians are just cracking up.
Quite frankly, I sent up prayers before Trump went overseas to make sure he didn't become a martyr while he was over there, mm-hmm. because you don't know.
But a lot of similarities with the Manchurian Candidate.
Absolutely.
And let me say, I think the thing that I find really fascinating, and again, this gets back to the whole piece about partisanship, that it seems no one wants to remember history where you have the Republicans complaining about the leaks, and yet it was the leaks that eventually brought down Richard Nixon.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And without the press, you know, Richard Nixon likely probably would never have resigned. We would not have gotten here without
the media.
Woodward and Bernstein, the real media, though, not
a bunch of bloggers just sitting around regurgitating what somebody else.
We're talking shoe leather media.
And so I
think that the complaints about the leaks are really just smoke screens, and I would venture to say that we probably will eventually see the president's tax returns when Bob Mueller.
He's got to ask for them in order to do a thorough investigation.
He's a pit bull with a bone. Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a fight over that. Watch the White House resist it. If they resist it, it's going to be an even bigger distraction. You know, this whole leak discussion by the Republicans, and they want to investigate that. I got two thoughts on that. One, it's like robbing a bank and getting mad because the police caught you illegally by illegal means.
Right. They entrapped you after you got away with the money.
And my mother, rest her soul, used to say that leaks like this or rumors are precursors to the truth. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So let's keep watching.
The truth is going to come out.
Exactly. It seeks the highest ground. It seeks light, if you will. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness for the press.
And it often takes the path of most resistance.
Exactly. Think about this, too. These leaks are coming from the highest levels of the White House.
And coming from his inner circle.
And you know why I think part of the reason I think that is Trump was a Democrat before he was an independent, mm-hmm. before he was a Republican.
And what is he now?
And he's traveled in so many circles and met so many people, he can't even remember. It's impossible for him to remember who all he did meet. What he keeps track of and paid people to keep track of was the money, the meeting, and his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His goal, if his goal was to buy this when and sometimes when it no longer served its purpose for him,
then he tossed it to
the side. He would toss it aside. Unlike the kids you grew up with where everybody's on the playground shooting marbles or playing basketball or jumping rope, so-and-so's mama calls them in and they take the rope and go home. That's not what this is. Mm-hmm. This is a whole different ball game with this administration and the political atmosphere win. Remember, one of the things Barack Obama said after the election was that he didn't realize Congress was as partisan as it was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Right. Real quick, I only have about 2 minutes left. I've got to get this in. Manchester bombing, 22 dead, dozens killed. Arrest today of the bomber's family, his father, his younger brother, ties to ISIS.
In Libya,
ties to Al-Qaeda. Is this the new world for us? I mean, what do we need to do here to address this issue?
Well, you know,
real quick,
before Barack Obama's term was up, I had an opportunity to talk with Jay Johnson, and I asked Jay Johnson what kept him up at night. And what kept him up at night, as he would say, is that what I don't know, and that is these radicalized folks that we don't know who can commit these single acts, if you will. Now, this may have been more coordinated, but in the end, it was a single act. Really tragic. I think the inquiry, and I'll close with this, is that the London and England and the UK were aware of this individual. They had tracked him. What I don't know is how he went to Syria to train and come back 2 days later, and we still don't have eyes on him. Watch for that to be the next part of the investigation and the debate.
Deborah,
and the
quick.
Money, because it's not easy to travel even here on this side of the pond from one country. It costs money to go from one country to the next, and even when you don't know who you're watching. I mean, even look at Somalia, where you've got 3-4 different quote-unquote clannish factions fighting terrorists, civil wars over there. If you're a Shiite here, you're a Sunni over there, you know what I mean? It's not that easy to be able to move around. And that's why it's spooky that England knew about this guy, but let him slide.
And had other acts, bad acts occur, terrorist acts occur in the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue to watch this, and I want to thank both of you, Deborah Simmons from the Washington Post, A. Scott Bolden, attorney and political commentator. Thank you both so much, and be safe. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, May 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at DailyDrumWHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC,